Hello there, this is Danny of Stuttering is Cool, episode 52. You are about to hear another chat with a good friend of mine, which means, yes, you're going to hear my friend's voice loud and clear, and my voice as small like this, very low. The reason I'm telling you this is I just spent a good 3 hours trying to increase the volume of my voice, and it's not working, so in the end, I'm just going to have to resort to a disclaimer because the interview is fantastic and I don't want to have to redo it. So I'm going to have to just, you know, bite the bullet and see what I could do for future chats to increase the sound of my voice. Oh, well, my apologies again, and let's hope for 53 it'll be better. It'll be louder. Hello, you are listening to episode 52 of Stuttering is Cool, and today we're traveling to the western part of Germany, and we have Stefan with us.
Hello.
Hello. Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Actually, before we begin, how do you say stuttering in German?
The German term for stuttering is stottern.
Oh, sounds nice. Stottern.
It's similar. It's not stuttering, it's stottern, but it's like that stut sound is in the word too, so it's pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, actually the German language and the English language, they almost sound similar sometimes.
Yeah, very often. We have very many English words in our German language too. So it's like t-shirt and it's all in English.
True.
Or jeans.
Yeah.
My wife is just in the background. I would be too loud.
It's okay. It's okay. So I hear that you are a photographer.
Yes. That it's only my part-time job to do some photography, but that's not my main job. But
technical difficulties. It's okay.
My wife says it would be so loud that all our neighbors would hear what I say, but I don't really mind. So
are you sure?
That's because I'm. Okay. That's a problem.
Okay, so we'll talk about all of the bad things that you really hate about your neighbor.
Yeah. It's very narrow here. We have all the houses just in one line,
and
more or less you can hear everything our neighbors say. But I think the left and the right part is not there at the moment, so that shouldn't be a problem.
So, what is your day job?
My normal job is to work as an engineer in a company who does some expert work for nuclear energy, like doing expertise about nuclear power plants. And my special job is to do expertise about final repositories for nuclear waste. So it's very specialized and completely different from doing photography stuff. So that's more the creative side of me to doing photography, and the other side is more the very technical. And so I like both.
Yeah. Wow. Has your stuttering ever been a challenge in either of the passions, works in either?
Yeah, I would say it's a constant challenge, but it's not frightening or something. But it's like when I'm doing weddings, I'm photographing very many weddings in a year. So talking to the people at a wedding, like directing groups to do a group shot, and talking to the bride and the groom, and so I have to deal with my stuttering every time. But normally I feel very comfortable doing weddings, so that's not a big problem. It's not a big deal. And at work, it's going fine in a normal case. Sometimes if I'm a little bit stressed or if I have to do some presentations, that's sometimes I'm a little bit nervous. And, I'm a little bit frightened of being really stuck in a presentation. I don't fear to stutter. But I fear that I really get a huge block where I don't come out, and that's one of my normal fears at work, but it's not that overwhelming. That's just okay.
Yeah. There are so many times where I have a presentation that just at one point that I'm thinking to myself, oh, hey, this is going great. And yeah. Then I start worrying, what if it stops going great?
Yes, yes,
that just
yes.
Screws you up.
You shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Do you stutter the same or more or less when you speak German?
Compared to the actual moment, I would say it's more or less the same, but it's other stuttering. I have some special words in English I fear, and some other words in German I fear, so I would stutter on different words. But it really depends to whom I'm speaking, if I'm tired, if I'm a little bit drunk or so, if I'm nervous, if I'm very sure of the things I say, like when I'm doing my photography stuff, I'm pretty sure what I'm doing and I'm really, really convinced about my photographies, and then I don't stutter that much. But like if I would be at work and I would have to report about some things I'm really not very sure about, then it may be that I stutter some more. But it really depends from day to day, if I'm tired, if I'm not tired. So it really depends. But that's the bad thing, that you never can predict how you will stutter. That's the thing I don't like about the stuttering.
Exactly. Sometimes it comes in the most inopportune moment.
That yes.
Just, no, not now. Some other time.
Yeah. I get it the most when I'm like standing in a row at McDonald's or so. I think you know these situations, like you have two or three people in front of you and you know you want to have a cheeseburger, and then it's your turn and hello sir, what do you want? And it just doesn't come out. And then I normally would have the choice to stay in my block and it would come out sometime, but normally then I just order something different, like I would like to have a chicken burger or whatever. But that's things you shouldn't do as a person who stutters. I know
there was one time recently that I was standing in line at the Starbucks and I was talking to someone who knows that I stutter. We talked about it before, and then so it was my treat, so I asked him, okay, what do you want me to order? So he was saying things like cafe mocha, cafe americano, you know, and I'm going, oh great, those are the exact words that I'm totally going to stutter on.
And yes, yeah.
So, you know, I was about to order and I stuttered a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, and, I hate it.
Yeah, and then of course I was taking other people's orders. Yeah, like you can't change the order, so I had to resort just a slight avoidance, but you know, I just looked away when I was trying to get it to say it right. Yeah. But I mean, you can't be perfect every single time, so
yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
So the mean thing with my stuttering is that normally it's not that bad. Normally people really don't know I stutter if I'm a little bit covert normally, so I can change words and so if I would like to, I can keep it for hours and hours if I don't talk that much. But if I really would say the things I like to say, that's maybe that I have really huge blocks which are really, really don't come out. So these blocks are not only 1 second, I may be stuck for, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 seconds, so I have to change words. A very prominent situation I have is when I have to phone people to say happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Because normally when you phone somebody, you can start in so many ways. You can say hi, you can say guten Tag, you can say only your name, whatever. But normally when you phone people to congratulate them, you have to say, the first thing you have to say is herzlichen Glückwunsch zum Geburtstag. That's the German sentence for happy birthday. And I normally every time get stuck on Glückwunsch, so greeting, and Geburtstag for birthday, and I get stuck on Geburtstag and Glückwunsch every time, and these are huge blocks. And so I hate to phone people for their birthday, so I prefer writing an email or maybe writing a short message on your mobile phone or something. But it's pure avoidance behavior, and I don't like to do that. But sometimes, if I have a bad day, I just do it like that. But okay.
Have you spoken to your friends and your family, all of these people that you phone to say happy birthday to, about your stuttering? Do they know that you stutter?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, normally. But normally they can't say very much about it. They say, yeah, we know that you stutter, but I don't mind. So they don't give me any advice or something. But then they normally know, and they are just okay with that. It just goes on my nerves sometimes. Like, oh, doesn't it has to be like it is? Shouldn't I concentrate more and then stutter less or so? But yeah. But I think that all changed when I did my first therapy about 6 years before. I was very, very covert. I would never tell anybody that I stutter. Even my first or second girlfriend I had when I was 14 or 16, I never told them that I would stutter, because I was so frightened they could not kill me. They could say, I don't want to be your girlfriend anymore because you stutter. But that was completely stupid, because then later I told it to one of my girlfriends, and she said, yes, I know, but I really don't mind. Why should I mind? So you're not going to say goodbye to me? No. Why should I do that? And I was really confused. Why doesn't she hate me? Because I stutter. So I had a weird thinking about stuttering, but that changed very much. So.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common way for teenage boys to think. I remember thinking similar things, you know, that doesn't make sense, that, you know, she shouldn't like me and all that. And I'm wondering if that's the way all stutterers tend to think when it comes to, you know, oh, I'm going to be alone all of my life, I'm not going to find anyone, that they just focus on the stuttering.
I
think there's no way, you know. Just wondering if you could talk a bit about your speech therapy that you had.
Yes, sure. It was about 7 years before, and I did a group therapy with the concept of Van Riper. I don't know if you know it in Canada. Van Riper was a famous stutterer who invented that sort of therapy, and it's based on desensitization. Is that an English word? It's Desensibilisierung in German. I don't know the English word.
Desensitization.
So desensitization, that's the right word. Very complicated for Germans to speak. And so we did talk to people on the street and say, hello, my name is that and that, and I stutter, and what do you think about stuttering? And so like to be very, very hard to oneself to talk about stuttering. And if you are more or less desensitized, then we started to do some speech tools like that very smooth beginning of speaking, like, hello, my name is Stefan, you know, so that you can avoid blocking. And well, that's more or less the concept of the therapy, but it really took 1 year to really get used to it. And the good result is, for me personally, that I don't need that speech tools very much, because this desensitization really made me stutter very, very much less than I did before, because I said, okay, I stutter and that's okay. And I wasn't able to say that before the therapy, so my level of nervousness before some events where I could stutter really got lower. So the main result for me was on the psychological level from the therapy. So I could use speech tools, but normally I don't do it, because I think it's for my level of stuttering, it's not necessary to use speech tools. But sometimes if I have a really bad day, I also use speech tools. Like if I'm stuttering on every second word I use speech tools, because I'm just then I say, okay, it doesn't work otherwise, I will use speech tools.
Wow. So how did it feel when you finished the speech therapy and you're all desensitized and all that?
That was great, because in the end of the therapy, I really didn't stutter at all. I was completely healed for the moment.
Yeah.
But our speech therapist told us that won't last for long. You will get a cutback, or what's the English word? Drawback, and okay. you will stutter again. And don't be too sure. And what we did, we recorded some video material for ourselves, like a sort of a emergency kit video, like when we tell ourselves, Stefan, if you are stuttering again, you have to do this and this and this and this, and if you will do that, you will stutter less again.
Okay.
So you can watch to your own video when you have really bad days. Well, I must admit, I think I watched that video once or twice in the last 7 years, not that often. But it was a really cool way to finish the therapy, first aid kit for yourself. It was really a cool therapy. And it was a great experience to work with so many other people who stutter, because I didn't know people who stutter before. I just heard it on TV that there are people, but I just didn't know anybody who stutters beside myself.
Yeah. So what was it like when you first met the other stutterers?
That was different. It depended on the people. There were some people who stuttered very hard and with very low self-confidence. And I thought, oh, do I look like they look when I stutter? I didn't know. And then I saw other people who also stuttered pretty hard, more than I did. But they had some sort of a charisma, you know. They were self-confident, and they stuttered, and they looked you in the eyes. During the blocks. Well, that was a big one.
All right, and it was a great one.
Great fun, good stutter. And they just looked you in the eyes during their stutter, and this was just like, wow, I would like to be like them, because they were just so self-confident, and they had really big blocks, and they seemed to don't mind. And I was really impressed by these people. So that was a cool experience.
Yeah, it's always, for me anyway, a great exercise to observe others and to not copy them, but learn from them. No, even if they don't stutter, it's great to learn, you know, how other people, you know, for example, can present, or how they introduce themselves, or whatever, you know, how they do in small talks. And sometimes, you know, imitation helps. You just pretend to be them, and then until you get into the rhythm and...
Yes.
Yeah. Now we're actually talking through video. Of course, people listening, they can't tell, but we're talking through video. We're communicating through Skype video. Do you use this as a, like, I guess, a speech therapy tool as well?
Well, I think the first time I did it was about 3 weeks before. That wasn't video, that was only audio, but with a Skype chat with our Twitter colleagues, you know. But I never used video before, because I know some people who have Skype, but nobody from them has a video camera with it. So, but it would be really a cool thing to practice with other stutterers via Skype or via a video chat. So maybe if I find some people in Germany, or even in Canada or in the US, I would really love to practice with Skype.
Exactly. Now, the coolest thing is you are sitting outside right now.
Yeah, in the garden. In the garden.
The whole birds, you can hear the birds happening.
Yes.
I really wish that my Wi-Fi signal could reach out outside. It can only reach a certain distance, and then as you've experienced, I keep getting cut off because it's too far.
Yes, yes, sure.
Neither here nor there. Oh well.
Yeah.
So you have a son, I believe.
Yes, I have a little son. He is one and a half years old.
Cute.
Very cute. He's just sleeping in his bed. It's his lunchtime sleep. He sleeps for about 2 hours. Yes, it's a very cute little boy.
Have you had any experiences yet with being a stuttering dad?
Well, I can say that I also stutter with him, so I thought I wouldn't stutter with little child or babies, but I do. But I think if you would ask me the question about 10 years ago, maybe I would have said I don't want to have children because I couldn't handle it, because I stutter, or I would have two big problems with to treat children with my stuttering. But that changed after the therapy, and now Mel, he isn't talking that much at the moment. He says mommy and daddy and no and yes, but not very much. But I think sometimes when I have a little block when talking with him, he looks a little bit different to me than normally, and so he sees that there's something not going normal, I would say. And I think in maybe 1 year's time or so, when he is able to talk a little bit more, I will explain what is stuttering and why is daddy stuttering. But I don't mind that very much. But the next question would be if he is going to stutter someday, because as you know, there's some potential for my son to stutter because he has the same, I don't know the English words, genes. No, yes. That's not the genes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I have. So there is a good chance that he will stutter too. But for that case, I know some good therapists here in my city who could treat him, and I think I could be a very good idol for him to speak openly about stuttering and not to be ashamed of stuttering and everything. So I don't fear that situation very much.
Good. Especially now, right? That we have the internet. You learned things about stuttering. I learned things about stuttering. So it's not that scary anymore as much. I guess like to have, children who stutter. There we go.
Yes.
Now, you are also on my Twitter feed. So once in a while, I receive a tweet from you saying, I just ran this many kilometers and I'm about to pass out and such. So do you go running very often?
I started it about 1 or 2 months before. Okay. I wanted to start about for 1 year or so, but every time, oh no, it's raining, oh no, I'm too tired, oh no, there's a good TV show on, oh no, I have other things to do, But then finally in, I think it was April or March, I started. Only the first one was 3 kilometers, and then it was about 5, and then 7, and then 10.
Wow.
And now I'm really addicted to it. I need to run every second day, and so normally I run about 10 kilometers now, and it's really fun. I just love it. So maybe I will do a marathon run next year or so, maybe. But that's really fun. It's good if you have some stress at work and so, and in the evening you have a good run, you're really relaxed again, and it's really cool.
It is, yeah.
And I see that I lose weight, so I already lost two kilograms, so that's a good thing.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, it's something that I want to take up. Ah, you're showing me something on the video cam.
No,
I think. No.
I have to go inside because the power is off of my MacBook, so I have to plug it in because I have only 10 minutes left. Just a second. So, power on. So, okay. Okay, so we can go on. No, I'm inside now.
Oh, okay. Are you going to end up waking up your son if you talk now?
my wife, she's just sitting here right beside me. There she is. And she told me to be not too loud because the door of his room is open.
Oh, okay.
So
okay. If you like we can finish now, so we don't run the risk of waking up your son.
Okay. So it was really fun to be on a podcast. It was the first time in my life. A thing which I never thought about 1 or 2 years before. I thought, oh no, you starter, you can't do a podcast.
Me
but
too.
As it's a podcast about stuttering, it's just fine.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Dan.
And that ends this episode. I hope the compensations that I did for the volume of my voice wasn't too annoying. In any case, stutteringiscool.com is the website, and you'll find information on how you can submit audio that I will play on future episodes, as well as the invitation is always open. If you want to appear on my show, do a chat or a panel, let me know. Send an email, coolstutter@gmail.com. Once again, all the info is on stutteringiscool.com. Specifically under the podcast section of the page. Thank you, and until then, ciao.